This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Studio A in Ocala, Florida.
You forgot who you were? And I'm Coach
Jen. I almost
forgot.
Studio...
And I'm Coach Jen from Studio B, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 2nd, 2014, episode 925. Today's episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday. Everybody getting back at it again or coming home from a weekend at horse shows. I noticed my Facebook was full of people who had been at horse shows over the weekend. So we hope you all did well. Jamie is a bit under the weather today. She should be back on Wednesday, hopefully feeling a little bit better. And I got Jennifer filling in today for Jamie. So thank you, Jennifer, for stepping in here.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
I appreciate it. It's kind of hard at 4 in the morning to contact a substitute co-host and get them to step in. So that's I'm glad you're here.
Hey, did you watch any of Elisa Wallace's videos she's put up on her way to Bromont? She's driving from Florida to Bromont, Canada, for the CIC.
Yes, I saw that she about an hour ago had 200 miles left.
Yes, and I kind of felt better after watching that, because in episode 2, the Elisa and her pals in the cab of the truck get into a discussion about the songs in certain Disney animated movies, and we watched Frozen over the weekend together. It was our movie weekend, and we watched Frozen because we wanted to see what all the hype was about, and I got to admit, I was a little embarrassed because you knew who the characters were and you kind of knew the words to the song, and I was a little worried, but I feel better now because there are other fellows out there who know the characters of certain Disney animated movies, and yeah.
It's only because I listen to podcasts. See, that's the reason I knew that is because I listen to Disney podcasts. Although I got to say, and I know we're going to get hate mail, but I got to say that I don't know why Frozen was...
Send your complaints to Jennifer at Horse Radio.
I don't know why Frozen was... I don't think it was the best Disney movie ever made. It's made $1.3 billion, but I'm not sure why. It was okay. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't...
Just see, Glenn, here's the thing. Just because you didn't like it, you know? Just because you didn't like it.
It wasn't Wall-E.
You know, it just...
I don't know. I guess it has a certain appeal to a much younger demographic. And you know how I love singing in movies. So that was
There was a lot of singing in a movie.
But I stayed awake through the whole thing. I did stay awake.
My favorite part of the movie was there's a scene in there where there's an avalanche of snow or a tree falls down or something along those lines. And one of the main characters is cruising through the woods on her Fjord horse, which are just beautifully drawn. They're all fat and round and adorable. And something loud happens, like a tree falls down, and the horse rears and dumps her off and runs home. They're like, yes, they finally made an animated horse behave like a real horse. It was awesome.
Sure.
That's exactly what the real horse would have done. Turned and left. You're on your own, honey.
That is true. That's exactly what would have happened. Yep, I did like the horse. I thought the horse was cute. Hey, before we go on with today's show, I wanted to mention that Ann Davis, which is a name that not a lot of people are going to know unless they're our age, And even then you won't know it, but you'll know her as Alice on the Brady Bunch. Died at the age of 88 over the weekend. She played the housekeeper, Alice, and, of course, the Brady Bunch was one of those shows. When we were growing up, you had three networks, so you had to watch one of them, and Brady Bunch was one of the things on, and as a kid, you watched the Brady Bunch. So, and everybody liked Alice, and apparently she was a lovely woman, and she died. She hit her head after falling in the bathroom. You know, they say more injuries and more deaths occur in the bathroom than any other place in the home. Well, that happened for her, too. So Alice is no longer with us. You know, I have to be honest. She's one of those people that I thought maybe had died about 20 years ago. I didn't kind of realize that she was still alive. So, you know, she's one of those people you go, is she still with us or not? So Alice is no longer with us. But anyway, on a happier note, we have a show planned for today. A lot of fun stuff without Jamie, I guess. So let's talk about what's coming up on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we will start out with some stylish advice. Compliments of the Eventing Radio Show. Gavin Makinson stops by, and he doesn't mind giving us a little advice on how to dress for success. And part of the fun of this little piece is Gavin's voice, because we always talk about the velvet voice of Victoria Spicer. Well, Gavin is the male version of Victoria, so sit back and enjoy, ladies. It's a fun little piece. And in the middle of the show, Dr. Gordon Chang's going to stop by, and he's going to muscle in on the conversation and pump up our knowledge on muscle support for different disciplines. And then rounding out the show, hopefully Wiley will present a salute to an icon of style and a powerhouse in the country music industry. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yes, Leslie will be here later in the show. So we're looking forward to speaking with her. I can't wait to hear all about this concert she went to, because I saw this particular person about 30 years ago. So I want to hear how she is in concert to this day. She was one of the best concerts I ever saw, actually. That was pre-Jennifer. That was before you that I saw her.
If I had known you went to a Dolly Parton concert, things may have turned out differently.
It was Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers in concert together, and it was at the York Fair. So that tells you something. In about 112-degree heat. I remember it well. Well, we do have some Daily Winnies for you this morning. My Daily Winnie goes out to one of our listeners, Chelsea Sievers, who has a bunch of minis. Well, she went to the Area 4 Nationals over the weekend with her minis and did not do too bad with her three geldings. And when I say not too bad, she posted a picture of the ribbons that she got, and it was a whole table full. It was a bunch of blue, a bunch of red, a bunch of yellow. So pretty much I think she just cleaned up the whole thing. And
hey,
was very
happy. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Are you sure she just didn't walk up to the secretary's booth and take a picture of the ribbon table?
Well, I thought about that originally. I did think about that because it did look like that, actually. But she did very well, and she was very happy with her minis, and apparently she's heading to another show in 2 weeks. We're going to have her on to talk about minis. We don't do enough shows on minis. We're going to have to definitely, we have so many listeners that have minis. I think that probably, if we had to pick a majority, a breed, if you want to call that a breed, if we had to pick a majority in the audience, minis would be it, because we have a lot of listeners with minis. Or they're the most vocal ones. I'm not sure which.
That might be it, too.
Do mini owners speak the loudest? Is that the
yes.
deal?
Yes, they have small horse syndrome. Yeah.
All right, let's do your daily one.
My Daily Winnie goes out to our Facebook friends who during Friday's show really stepped up and posted, 20-some-odd pictures of their horses' forelocks? Great stuff. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I was surprised the number of pictures that we got. It was terrific.
And it's so fun to look at them because the horses' personalities come out in their forelocks. It's
yes,
really cute.
They do.
And you have
really
the ones
cute.
With the comb over, and you have the ones with the neat and pretty stylish look. And there was even one in there had kind of Justin Bieber hairdo. And Dolly Parton's in there, too. She's a redhead, but Dolly Parton is in there.
That's right. Well, we'll get to some news here. We
Ooh,
have
Donald
some
Trump.
News.
That's a Donald Trump comb over right there. Absolutely. Rachel, your horse has a Donald Trump hairdo. So,
there were
stuff.
Some fun ones. It was very active on Facebook on Friday. Friday seems to be our most active day on Facebook with listeners. I don't know if everybody's just sick of working and, you know, blowing off a day
off
or what. Yeah. Well, before we get to, I got some news later on. We do have some news from the equestrian world that we'll get to. But I found this list. I saw this over the weekend, and I thought, wow, this is so true. Before I started the Horse Radio Network, what, about 6 years ago now? Matter of fact, in August it'll be 6 years. We're going to have a little online party, a live party for that. And, you know, when I started it, I had been listening to podcasts for years before that when it wasn't easy to get a podcast. I mean, you really had to go through hoops to get it downloaded to whatever MP3 player you have to have. But if you had an iPod, you were lucky. Otherwise, you had to try and download it to an MP3 player. That was before phones did anything but make phone calls. So that was at the beginning of texting, actually, on your phone. So there was no other way to listen to a podcast other than on the computer or download it manually, and or iTunes had just started coming out pretty strong then. But I had a number that I was listening to, and I probably have today about 20 different podcasts on my iPod that I try and listen to on a fairly regular basis, in addition to ours. So it's a lot of them. I can say I'm addicted to podcasts, and I was when I started the network, which was one of the reasons I started it, because I figured all you people should be addicted to podcasts too. So I found this article, Signs You're Addicted to Podcasts, and we're going to add Jennifer right after every one of these.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's right. There's absolutely nothing wrong with any of these things. Nothing. They're all
it's
fine.
All good.
Here's a couple. You must make sure your phone is charged before you leave the house, and that is true, because if you don't have your phone charged, listening to podcasts will kill it faster than if you just leave it sit in your pocket. So, yes, do have your phone charged. Now, the one nice thing about not having an iPhone is I can have extra batteries, so I can actually pop the batteries out of my phone, which iPhone people can't do. So that is a definite advantage. You've deleted
and how many batteries do you have,
Glenn?
Four,
what's
five,
that?
Six? How many batteries do you have for your phone?
I have three batteries. I have plenty. I can get me through two days. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. You've deleted photos or videos of treasured memories to make room for more podcasts. Now, I do know that this is true for some of our listeners because I've gotten emails, and I will remind everybody. Oh, by the way, Jennifer?
Yes?
What are you saying after each one?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. Thank you. You got to get your cues better. All right. So I have had listeners write to me about this saying, oh, I'm taking up so much room. When you're using our app, you just slide over the episode and it'll bring up a delete button. Or I think that's on iTunes or on the iPhone. You slide over and it'll bring up a delete button. Or you just hold your finger on the episode in Android and it'll bring up a delete button. So you can delete the individual episodes. If you're downloading them onto your phone, please do delete them when you're done. That will clear up the room, and you won't have to delete your photos or videos of your treasured memories. Or you could just, you know, you don't have to delete them. You can hook your phone to your computer and upload them right onto your computer or onto the cloud. So you don't have to delete them. You can still save them. The songs that play
your phone.
The songs that play during your favorite podcasts are the ones you listen to the most. If that's
guilty.
True, we have a lot of Templeton Thompson fans up there.
And that's a good thing, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. You've had a driveway moment that lasted through the end of a show and into the next one, which means you're sitting there listening in your car because you don't feel like unplugging and you want to hear the end of the show. Guilty. I've done
that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
Jennifer will come out, and I'll be sitting in the car.
Yeah. Is there something wrong out here, dear? The groceries are melting. Let's get to the end of the podcast.
So there is something wrong with that if your groceries are melting in the car while you're waiting to come in the house. I do that more with Audible books, with the books. You're getting toward the end of a chapter or the end of the book, and you just want to finish it. You and I have done that at the end of trips. We've just driven 8 hours in the car. We finally get home, but there's like 20 minutes left, so we'll sit in the car and listen to the end of the book.
We've been there for 8 hours. What's another 20 minutes?
That's right. You get really excited to talk about a podcast you just listened to, but the problem with that is the other person you're talking to hasn't listened to it, so they're just rolling their eyeballs. Ask Jennifer. She's had that happen many, many times.
It's a skill that you develop when you are married to a podcast addict, and you just smile and nod and smile and nod.
And act like you're interested.
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of like when I tell you about dressage. Yeah.
Yes. You do it very well, dear. You do it very well.
Thank you.
You know all the personal jokes and taglines from your favorite podcast. This is so true of our listeners because we have people quoting them back to us all the time. So, yeah, we do get this one a lot. And we get this one a lot on Facebook, people posting. There's certain things that we do that we hear back. and we're flattered by that, by the way. Jennifer?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing at all. Podcasts have become an integral part of your routine, and it feels like something is missing when you miss one. And I'll add to that, there's another one on here, that you're mad at me when they come out late because I hear from you about that too. Sorry about that. If occasionally they're a day late, it's just Jennifer and I. Everybody, we're doing this on our own, so we get them out. We try and get them out on time. We for the most part, 80% of the time we're on time. The thought, this is me. Jennifer will attest to this one. The thought of doing any chores without a podcast to listen to is unbearable. Is that true?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I can't go to bed before I load up my iPod. I can't rake the leaves without loading up my iPod. I can't wash the dishes without loading up my iPod. Everything you do is prerequisite with, I got to load up my iPod. Yeah.
You know, there is Jody just posted one on Facebook. You know you're addicted to hit 'em when you catch yourself becoming an avid Craigslist reader. Yes, that's true. Thank you, Jody. But, yes, I do that. The only place, and you'll be proud, all the horse girls out there will be proud of me, the only place I don't listen to podcasts, I don't have my earphones in when I'm doing a chore, and I don't consider it a chore, but is driving my pony. I don't do it while I'm driving my pony, do I?
That's my
quality time with my pony. But I had a problem when I was mowing the lawn because the lawnmower was too loud and I couldn't hear with my earbuds in. But I solved that problem. I took an old set of headphones we had, and I put the headphones on, and because those cover your ears, they muffle the noise, and I can listen to the podcast then while I'm mowing the lawn. Otherwise, I had that whole hour that I could not listen to anything. It was driving me insane. So I've solved that problem now.
The voices in your head, yeah.
Yes, that's
true. And
there's
nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes you invent things just to do so you can listen for a few more minutes. That is true. I rake leaves a lot just so I can listen to certain podcasts.
You try to oh, I'm going to go out and rake leaves. It looks messy. I need to straighten the place. No, you're just going out there so you can listen to inside the magic.
And it's kind of downtime. I mean, raking leaves, you don't require any thought. So, you know, raking leaves, and when you live in Florida under live oak trees, you have a lot of leaves. You get a lot of leaves.
Yeah. You were never so willing to clean paddocks as you are now that you have 25 different podcasts to listen to. Never so.
That's true. I do clean the paddocks a lot more. So it's good for you. See, it's good for you that I listen to podcasts.
Yeah. And you're letting everybody think it's because you love your flexing fork, but I think the podcasts have a lot to do with
it. Now, this is one that we've heard a bunch from our listeners. You've cracked up in public while listening to a podcast, while driving or at work. We've heard from a bunch of our listeners that they cracked up at work while listening to a podcast and everybody looks at them. So, yeah, we realize that happens and we apologize in advance and we hope you don't get fired.
Yeah, we love it.
Oh, and Uda just posted, you know you're addicted to hit 'em when you look forward to coming back to work because it's the only way to listen live. Thank you, Uda. And Uda just had a week off. She posted that she's been missing us for a week. So welcome back, Uda. You have to go back and listen last week. We had a lot of fun shows. There have been times when you've had to take a break from a podcast to shed a few tears. Not in our shows. I hope not, anyway. Unless they're that bad. Then maybe. Maybe the awful ones. Those are the episodes that, like Friday, it's like, okay, who cares? We really did have a who cares. We don't even care because we weren't making $47 million like Judge Judy. So Friday was the day, if you missed it, you have to go back
and take a listen. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You feel like you know your favorite podcast hosts really well. We don't think about that because we're on here every day and we're just talking about our lives. And, you know, as you know, Jamie and I don't hold much back. she, her especially, you know, you pretty much know what's going on in our lives. And we don't realize that till we meet one of you and we go, you know, have dinner with you or the listeners, or we go to like Rolex and hang out with you. And then it becomes insanely clear how much you guys know about us. And sometimes then it's a little scary. it's like, oh, man, I guess you do. Or we'll say something, you know, thinking, you know, we'll just say something in general and the listener will go, yeah, I already knew that. And it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that? Question mark?
That's right. And Jennifer, the last one was your favorite. Old people think you're some kind of computer genius for listening to podcasts or helping them download them. You know, we used to have that a lot where we'd say, when we first started, when nobody understood how to download them, we used to say, get your kids to show you how to do it. And we can still say that pretty much because your kids will know how to do it. They're fine. They figure it out in about 2 minutes.
They know what the little cloud icon means. You know, I looked at the little cloud icon on the app, and I look at that and go, oh, if I press that button, is it going to blow up? Is that like a mushroom cloud or what? Different era.
It's true. Jennifer didn't have a clue what that meant. I said, it's simple. Everybody knows what that means.
No, that's a mushroom cloud. You're going to blow up your iPod when you press that.
Well, that's the last one. So that was signs you're addicted to podcasts, and I know a lot of you are. And you know what? We're very glad about that. And we don't want you to change. We think you're perfect. Absolutely perfect the way you
Embrace
are.
It.
Nothing wrong with any of that.
No.
That's
Embrace
right.
It
Embrace
all.
It like
Wonderful.
I do. Get a bigger set of headphones so you can listen while you're mowing the lawn. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day. Well, we had one of the things we've started to do here over the last couple of weeks is to highlight our favorite either soundbite or usually a soundbite from the previous week's shows on the Horse Radio Network, one that Jennifer and I think is kind of the highlight of the week or the funny, really funny of the week. And you have one that you really liked from the Eventing show. Tell us about that. We're going to play it for everybody. It's pretty short.
Well, the Eventing radio show that is put on by the Pro Riders Organization. I produce that each week, so I get to listen to every single word every single week. And every week, the Martin Collins, who is a footing company, has a trainer tip. And they vary enormously in length and topic. And this past week, Gavin Makinson, who is an event rider, and he lives in the UK, he's a Londoner, is also an actor and a model. He has a very wide career. And he did a tip on what they call nailing the trot up, because as you know, the trot up at 3-day events is a spectator sport. You know, hundreds of people show up for the trot up, and it's great fun to look at all the outfits everybody wears. So he gives a little help, some helpful hints on nailing the trot up. And part of the fun of this tip is Gavin is also a voiceover artist, so he has a fantastic voice and a beautiful London accent. So part of the fun is not just what he says, but how he says it.
All right, let's take a listen.
This is episode 302 of the Eventing Radio Show, brought to you by PRO, the Professional Riders Organization.
Hello, the Eventing Radio Show. I am Gavin Makinson, event rider, actor, London dweller and general loudmouth. For this week's Eventing Radio Show, I've been very kindly asked back by Samantha to give my thoughts on how to have a successful trot-up. And whilst I have no official qualifications for this role, I do know a bit about horses, and I know a thing or two about the catwalk, which is exactly what the trot-up is. I think the thing that many riders forget or focus on is that whilst the trot-up is, of course, to check whether our equine friends are feeling okay, our vets and our ground jury could do it behind closed doors and out of the way. We are incredibly lucky in our sport to enjoy some stunning locations like Badminton, Burley, Blenheim, etc. And the trot-ups are in front of the houses for a reason. It is part vet check, but it's also part catwalk show and part theatre. Embrace it. Learn to show off in the same way you would in the dressage arena. So, where to start? People can get the trot-up badly wrong, and I think that's largely for two reasons. I do get it. Spending 8 hours a day riding, mucking out a barn, working your fingers to the bone, going to make choosing a night outfit seem desperately unimportant, but let's remember, what we do in the big scheme of things is unimportant. A good outfit isn't going to change the world, but then neither's a flicky trot or jumping over things on a horse. The other thing to remember is that horse people generally know about horses, clothes not so much. I appreciate that many of you feel out of your comfort zone, and you spend all day in breeches and a t-shirt, and you're going to have a full-scale breakdown if the words dress or suit are mentioned, but it has always baffled me that we spend hours and hours getting the horses looking perfect, but are then prepared to shove something on from the back of the wardrobe for a trot-up. And whilst the groom is spending hours washing, grooming, plaiting and polishing, try and do the same for yourself. As riders, we depend hugely on the generosity of others to fund our sport and bring our dreams to reality. A good picture sells. It's why Heat magazine, OK and Hello exist. How many of us have thousands of pictures of us looking great on a horse, but none of us looking dapper? A picture of you looking great off a horse, but next to a horse, in front of a stunning backdrop, will do you a lot of favours. It will make more sense to someone that has money but knows nothing about horses. It can generate interest in you. The world is full of great riders, but in the modern media-obsessed world, a sponsor needs more. They need someone to represent them and be a brand ambassador in other ways than on a horse. So ride smart, think smart, but also look smart. Boys and girls, approach your trot-up outfit in the same way you would a first date. You need to look hot, but not too slutty, but slutty enough to let them know that you're interested and interesting. Our competition riding outfits are drenched in history and tailoring, so why turn up to the trot-up looking like you're wearing a bin bag? One thing that riding does give you is great legs. Use them, show them off, dress them up. You wear tight trousers and boots all day long, so why get off a horse and dress up in clothes that are about as fitting as a New Zealand rug? Girls, one or two of you don't let me down, but on the whole, you generally fall into two teams, air stewards or Chelsea teenagers. For you air stewards, flat shoes, neck scarf, very practical for serving food at 33,000 feet, but you only need to run 100 yards with a horse. Have more fun. Chelsea teenagers, white jeans, no, 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 dull, 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 yawn, yawn, yawn. You're not playing polo, and you're not shopping with mummy on the King's Road, and don't even get me started on those tweed miniskirts. Watch Fashion Police. Read some magazines. See what people are wearing on the streets. If they're a similar size and shape to you, chances are it will suit you too. Doesn't have to be expensive. Get to Topshop or shop around online, but just make sure it fits. The other option is if you like a particular designer, get someone to ring them up. Ask for the press office number and ask if you can borrow something. There is not a single person on a film red carpet that owns their dress. Everything is borrowed. You have no reason to apologize. Explain what you do, that you are bloody good at it, and find a brand or designer that you like and sell your idea to them. They might like a heritagey, outdoorsy angle, or explain that you realize that that's not their core market, but you think it might be a bit of a fun juxtaposition. All they need is a killer photo and the clothes to come back in a similar state to when they lent it to you. So keep it away from horses' mouths, toes, hoof oil, and red wine. But there are press offices across the land with clothes waiting for this exact reason. Ring them up. That said, if it comes around the other way and a brand approaches you to wear their stuff, don't get carried away and excited. Just because someone is offering you something for free doesn't mean it's either nice or will suit you. It's what mirrors are for. Be honest with yourself. The equine market is drenched with horrendous products, clothes included. Be brutal. Boys, 2014 is a good year for us. Suits are in. Suits are everywhere. Tweed, schmied. Be braver. Heritage is everywhere. Tailoring, everywhere. If you're stuck or scared, ask a friend in the know. Ask a girl or a gay. They generally know better, and there are plenty of them in horses. This year, blazers are everywhere. If you don't want to do skinny jeans and a dicky bow, think Ralph Lauren. Classic, timeless, but make sure it fits again. 80% of the boys that are four-star look like they borrowed their dad's suit. Not acceptable. Finally, hair. Your horse looks impeccable. You wouldn't send it out with shoddy plaits and shavings in its tail. But so many of you are happy to go out there looking like you're wearing a wig that looks like it's been made from chaff. There are many reputable hair products on the market. Frizzies has the same ingredients as mane and tail spray. Both work. Use them. Girls, your lorries have generators and plug sockets. Ride the horse a bit earlier, give it to the groom, then go and have a shower, pour yourself a gin, and then plug the hairdryer in, but also plug the straighteners in. You might actually be surprised that you can have flat hair, and you don't look like you've stuck a haynet on your head. Then stick some classy makeup on and a killer outfit and job done. It's not so hard, is it?
He was great.
Yeah, isn't that fun?
That's Gavin Makinson. He's actually Gavin James Makinson. His website is gjmeventing.com. And you were right. He is all model. I mean, this is a good-looking guy. He's like,
yeah.
There's pictures of him on his website on the runway and in plays and as an actor and stuff. What a fun guy. They can have him back anytime. Now I see why that made the best of for last week. That's pretty
yeah,
good.
It wasn't just the content. It was how it was presented, see?
It was very funny. Very good. Yeah, and he does have a great accent. Definitely does. Well, we're going to go from that to a little bit about, we're going to go from what you
muscles,
wear.
More muscles.
To staying
yeah.
healthy and looking like, well, yeah. We want
muscles.
Our horses to look like, I'm looking at Gavin's pictures. We want
yeah.
your horses to look like Gavin because, yeah, he's got some muscles. Yeah, makes the rest of us look pretty silly. All right, Jennifer, take it away.
And welcoming back to the show for his monthly visit to educate us on all things horse, Dr. Gordon Chang, owner and chief formulator at Omega Alpha Equine. Welcome back, Dr. Chang.
It's always a pleasure to be back.
Hi, Dr. Chang.
Hey, Glenn, how are you? I caught the last...
Are you lining up on the runway, you know, ready to model?
I think if you want to sell less clothes, put me on the runway. That's how you do it.
I love what he said at the end there. That was a great quote. You
That's
guys,
true.
You have to talk to the girls or the gays. Both of them do it better than we do. So.
And there's lots of them in the horse world, he said.
Yes, exactly. That was the quote of the week.
But checking right along, our topic today is going to be about recovery in different disciplines in horses as well as in muscle development. Now, muscle development, it's a broad area, and so is recovery. Now, one of the things that's nice about recovery, every single discipline have the same issues with muscle recovery, meaning that, you know, your horses are going out there, you put them through their paces, you run them down, with, you know, they're tired, they're beat up, you know. There's several things that happen after exercise that you want to help control. One of the major things that happen after exercise, all right, is the fact that you have a lot of your muscle breaking down, because what happens is during the exercise itself, you have what's called micro tears and so on in the muscle. These micro tears, or sometimes major tears, but these tears actually cause achiness and the stiffness that you feel. As people, if you go exercise, you feel that achiness and stiffness after exercise. Those are because of the micro tears, right? And a lot of those micro tears have to be mended. And in order to mend them, you got to provide the body with the right type of nutrients. The nice thing about talking about this, every single discipline will benefit. I don't care if you're a racehorse or if you're a hunter-jumper or if you're dressage. They're still horses, and they all require the same basic nutrients. One of the first things you require one of the things that happen after exercise, because you have to break down of muscle tissue, you have inflammation happening. In order to start the healing process, you've got to control that inflammation. Hence, you should take things like our anti-flam or Sinuex, which have anti-inflammatory herbs. They will help control that inflammation and help bring back the growth of the muscle. Secondly, one of the things that people should know, there are several amino acids that are in common use that people use to help rebuild muscle. But what a lot of people don't realize is that these amino acids, which are the what we call a branched-chain amino acids, which is valine, leucine, isoleucine, right? And also there's another one, L-glutamine, which is not a branched-chain. But what these amino acids will do, it'll spare muscle loss and increase the buildup of the muscle. The reason you want to spare muscle loss is because, remember, right after exercise, muscle has to be broken down and then rebuilt. Now, if that muscle breakdown process happens too much, you don't have much rebuilding happening. What studies have shown is that if you increase your intake of the branched chain aminos as well as the L-glutamine, you actually increase the muscle production. But there's a window. It has to be done within 2 to 3 hours, within 3 hours post-exercise. So meaning that you, if you get it to the horse within that 3 hours post-exercise, it is the most beneficial at that time. Now, that's not to say that even if you give it to him 6 hours later, it's not going to help. It will help, but if you to get the best bang for the buck within that 2 to 3 hours post-exercise. So, you know, after you washed him down or you're in the process of washing the horse down or bathing the horse, give him some amino acids. Give him some branched chain aminos, leucine, isoleucine, valine, and also some of the L-glutamine. Those are really good. Now, another thing that people should think about during exercise, any horse that does a lot of working out, etc., a show horse, you need to supply them with adequate amounts of B vitamins and also the trace minerals, things like zinc, copper, manganese, all right, and some calcium, and you know, you have your phosphorus, et cetera, et cetera. But I find a lot of these trace minerals get overlooked, right? And those are very important because the B vitamins are important because they help generate ATP, right? So when the horse is resting, et cetera, it helps replenish some of that ATP stores, right? ATP comes from breakdown of fat. So in the muscle, if you break down fat, it generates ATP. But you need the B vitamins as sort of intermediaries, in addition to a whole bunch of other things, of course. It's not strictly B vitamins. But I find that a lot of people, unless you're supplementing your horse with B vitamins, you're not giving them enough. Joe Horse, who's sitting in the backyard with his head over the fence, you don't need to probably give him extra ATP. Joe Horse that is competing, definitely you should give him some because he's using up B vitamins much faster than your regular horse.
Another question. Chang, a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were going to put a percentage on it, as opposed to doing nothing after the workout, okay, in that 2 to 3 hour window, you do nothing. You don't give them anything. So by giving them something, okay, are they going to be 50% better off? Are they going to, do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, you're asking, if I don't give them anything, will I see a difference right away? Right. The question, and to be fair, probably you won't see it right away. This is why these things are so insidious, because you don't see it right away, but you will see it maybe a month down the line if you don't give him anything. You know, there's a lot of people who have that experience. If you never give your horse anything, you find that what happens as you go further on in the training, you find that he doesn't recover as fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
You find that he's starting to lose weight. All right, all those things, all right?
Yep.
And what we're trying to do, you have to remember, you're not going to take a horse that can't jump and give him all these things and make him jump, right?
Right.
What's going to
–
what
not a
these
substitute
things that,
for training.
That's right, and natural talent. You got to have natural talent, right?
Right.
Right. But what these things do, it gives them that extra edge. It ups the game. And you have to remember, when horses – in a racehorse, for example, during a race, you can lose – by a nose, okay? And so when you're looking at that little difference, you know, the difference between winning and losing is a nose. If your horse is that extra prepared, that you can win because of a nose, right? Or even jumping or dressage, right? A lot of it, for example, dressage is conditioning and lactic acid buildup. If you can help control all that or delay some of that, even for a very short time, you have a horse that will perform a lot better, right? So this is what we're trying to talk about here, right?
Okay, now that prompted another question from me,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Chang. For, and of course it's all about us here at Horses in the Morning, PT Scooter, Glenn's pony,
mm-hmm.
11 months ago was a starvation case and who, through careful management, has come back and is, for the most part, a healthy pony now.
Mm-hmm.
But he tires easily than I would expect a pony to at his age. He's only 5. Would I expect to have a horse that's been through what he has, nearly starved to death for an extended period of time? Is he going to be a better candidate for muscle support supplements earlier on in that training regime? Because you talk about how as a horse becomes fitter and his workload increases,
mm-hmm.
in order to maintain that good recovery time, you need to support your horse's body with some supplements.
For
is
a horse
that,
like that,
makes, or is that just me?
No, you definitely should give that horse a little bit extra, because you know what? What you're trying to do is build what I call recovery, his recovery reservoir. And by that I mean, let's say, because he's starving, he's lost a lot of vitamins, he's lost a lot of protein, muscle mass, etc., right? And then he builds. So you start feeding him, he put on the extra weight, etc. Now he could be putting on the extra weight because of the protein in the feed, the carbohydrates, the fats, and so on. And all that puts on the extra weight, so he starts looking good. But, you know, his vitamin status might just be average. And so what you will see is that if he's using up a lot more ATP, right, and other things, biochemical reactions going on in the body, require some of that B vitamins. So, and if you're putting him into performance, right, like you run, jumping, et cetera, he's going to be using all that up even more. So if his tank is low, the analogy I'll use is that if his tank is already low, right, and you're depleting the tank by putting him through paces like that, you've got to make sure that you add more of the nutrients back into that tank to get him up to the point where his tank is half full or even getting to full. That's mm-hmm. the idea with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that you'll find for horses especially is muscle buildup. A lot of people want to say, well, I want my horse to build muscle. Right, there's no magic bullet to building muscle. You got to put him through the paces of exercise, but you need to give him a little bit extra oomph to give him that muscle mass. Traditionally, in the horse race business, everybody gets a shot of steroids, right? And what the steroids do, they're basically like a testosterone type analogs. That basically what that will do is, testosterone is one of those hormones we know that will build muscle, but testosterone is illegal for use in any type of competition. So what you have to do is to enhance the horse's ability to produce its own testosterone, because testosterone is naturally occurring in whole horses. There's several herbs that actually will help increase the testosterone level, but again, it only builds it to what I call the normal maximum that you will find in a horse, because there's so many what we call negative feedback loops that help control the level of testosterone. The best you can do with any of these things is to maximize its output, its production, its own production of testosterone, right? And so that's one of the things that people have used. And again, what we're talking here is to give them that little extra oomph. We're not going to make him a monster horse, right? Because, I mean, in many cases, you'd like to get a monster horse, I know, especially in the racing business. But if you want to do it legally and if you want to do it naturally, there's very few things out there that will actually make your horse into a monster horse. Right.
Got it.
So, yeah. So some of the things that I've read about is things like gamma arsenol, which help put muscle on. I have also read, you know, some of the herbs that we have in some of our products actually increase testosterone production. Things like there's a herb called horny goat weed. There's a herb called tribulus. Now those are some of the common names. Okay. The name for horny goat weed, the botanical name is Epimedium sagittatum. So horny goat weed is a lot easier to remember.
Yeah, it is. And it's fun to say.
Don't go there. Anyway, so there's a whole regimen of stuff that people would use. But I think one of your best things to do really is to help control that inflammation right after exercise. And that makes a huge difference, because for the horse, the comfort level on the horse, because, you know, nobody wants to compete if you're aching and in pain. So this is why I always suggest our anti-flam and Sinuex products right off the get-go. And also,
so
I would
two,
also say, yeah,
Sinuex, which is spelled Sinew-X,
and
okay.
Anti-flam.
And anti-flam, okay.
Yeah. But what is I always say, look after the gut. If you have a horse, I don't care, a post-recovery, if you have a horse that eats well post-recovery, post-exercise, I said, you will have, that's half of the pluses of a post-exercise. You know, you're well on your way to recovery if you can make sure your horse eats. And I know there are certain, some horses post-competition will not eat just because you have irritated the ulcers and so on. So make sure you do something for that gut. Keep that gut healthy. Put him on some with a lot of probiotics, like a Biotic 8 product.
Okay, makes
there
sense.
We go.
Now, you,
yeah.
When I'm looking at the website, I see a number of products under muscle. You probably have 8 of them under muscle. So as a consumer, how do I go knowing which one I really want to, you know, really want to get? Well, let's take my pony for an example. You know, we're just training him to drive. You know, I'm trying to get his muscle built up. How would I know which one of these is the Sinuex the one I want, or would something else be better? How do I know?
What you would do, if I had to sit down with you, I could get you to be using every single thing we produce. Now, that just gets to be ridiculous after a while, okay?
Okay.
You can't take everything. I mean, even if you had the money, you didn't have the time to do it, okay?
Right.
All right? So a lot of it depends on where you are in the food chain of competition, right? If you're chasing down the major, the be-all and the end-all, the final competition of the season, et cetera, you know, or you're running for the million-dollar race type of thing, then you do as much as you can, right? So the first thing I would do, control that inflammation, right? So you give them that the Sinuex, right? If the inflammation is bad, you give them a little bit more of the anti-plam combined, okay? So you start off there. Make sure to get that Biotic 8 into them, because if you can get, you see, because a lot of nutrients come into horses from their feed. If you can get them digesting well, you get their stomach feeling well or the intestinal tract feeling well, you have won half the battle already. So you make sure that you give them that Biotic 8 for their gut. We have that new ulcer product called Regeneric. That's a wonderful product, and actually Regeneric helps stimulate is an appetite stimulant. So horses that don't eat, put them on that. Within a couple of days, you'll see them heading back in the bucket, eating as if there was no tomorrow. All right? So those that keep the gut healthy. That's the key. All right? And then you can, if you're in serious competition, keep them topped up with the Minarec. Right, and don't forget the Equicel Light, which also has a lot of the branched chain amino acids. You want that because it has electrolytes in there. The reason we combine it with the branched chain aminos is because most people will give their horses electrolytes just prior to exercise or just post exercise.
Right.
So
right.
Within that, so we hit that magic window of 2 to 3 hours, so you get optimal effect with your branched chain. So it's already in that Equicel Light. Right, we have them, all of these things in the paste and so on. Now, these are what we're just addressing the recovery section here, right? But
right,
remember,
right,
when you look at competition, you have to take a more holistic approach. Just looking at recovery doesn't do it all. I mean, you got to make sure everything is functioning properly. So you do the cleanses, right, to clean out the liver, the kidneys, and the lungs, etc. You know, you got to make sure they breathe properly, right? They have the bronchioles are maximally dilated during competition. So you have the airways product, right? We have to have the horse, make sure that there are no aches and pains and so on. So we have that wonderful liniment quartet, which will help, again, recovery of the muscle itself by drawing out some of that fluid and so on. So, you know, there's all those different things that you can use.
Okay.
So it's not just a one-stop shop.
Right, right.
So we at Omega Alpha tend to approach the health care of a horse as in a more holistic fashion. So we look at the different things that will probably could happen or will happen, right? And then we would have something that would help prevent it or to help treat it.
Got it.
So that's why you call Dr. Chang and you call Omega Alpha Equine, because you really want to look at the whole horse and his entire, what he does for a living in its entirety versus, oh, I want to build muscle, so give him that.
Yeah.
If you're building muscles but you're not supporting the rest of the horse's systems, you're not really getting the most out of the product you're using.
That's right. That's the whole idea with it. Yeah.
As usual, chock-a-block full. And I must say, Dr. Chang, I so admire your ability to say the botanical names of all of these herbs. And without hesitation, you never foible them. It's awesome.
I have had moments where I just can't remember. Don't worry. I'm just as bad as everybody else.
No, you're an ace when it comes to these things. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Chang, for stopping by. As usual, what we do with these segments from Dr. Chang, in case our audience members don't realize this, we cut these out and send them on over to Omega Alpha Equine. And if you go to the OmegaAlphaEquine.com website, you can find these segments, all of them, individual and separate. So you can just listen to Dr. Chang's little segments here from Horses in the Morning all at one time. And it's amazing how much information is in them. And you can learn all about the different types of products that Omega Alpha makes and how they are used. And, of course, the email address and telephone number for Omega Alpha Equine is there. So when you want more and you want to talk to someone in the know about your horse's recovery plan or his inflammation plan, you can just talk to those folks at Omega Alpha Equine.
Thank you, Dr. Chang.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on.
All right, start building that muscle, Dr. Chang, so we can get you on the runway beside Gavin there.
You know what? Sometimes when you're just too old, it just doesn't happen.
I'm with you right there. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
It's not worth the effort sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Anyway, have a good day.
Oh. Yeah, I wish. All right. I don't think there's anything I can take from Omega Alpha that's going to help that either. What he said about, you know, you actually have to do the work part is the tough. That's the tough.
See, that's the thing. There has to be work of the muscles in order for the muscles to need some support.
You know,
yeah, if they're not working.
If you live in Canada, they have all the human ones, too, that relate to what he just talked about. But once again, yeah, I have to do the work part, which is kind of the, yeah. Yeah. I sit on a ball. Does that help? I sit on a ball when I do the show.
Yeah.
If I sit on an exercise ball, does that mean I'm exercising?
You're exercising your ability to balance. Your inner ear is getting exercised. Yeah, pretty much it.
We're going to take a break. We have a song here, and we're going to take a break and hear from Templeton Thompson. Apparently, you know, everybody has to be listening to Templeton now, according to our rules earlier about podcasts. And then coming up, we're going to get Leslie Wiley on here, who is of a different generation than we are. She's a lot younger. She's in her 20s. Yet she likes a certain person that I went to see in concert about 30 years ago, and she had something to say about that. We're going to find out about that and then some of the other things coming up on Horse Nation as well. She's going to spend the last half hour with us. She's going to fill in for Jamie the last half hour. We really appreciate that. Tumbling Dice from Templeton Thompson. That was Templeton Thompson with Tumblin' Dice. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com or find her on iTunes. Just search for Templeton Thompson. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Coach Jen today. Jamie is off sick. She wasn't feeling well this morning, so she's hopefully recovering, and we'll be back on Wednesday. We hope to see her then, and I'm sure she will be. We're brought to you today, of course, by Omega Alpha Equine. You just heard Dr. Chang on here, and you can find them at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, a couple of news stories while we're waiting for Leslie here. One is the horse slaughter amendment was added to the House Ag Appropriations Bill. So that means that it's gone through and been approved. That is the amendment that basically blocks the Department of Agriculture from doing the inspections. So that means they can't open any slaughter plants in the United States. The bill went through the House, and now it's also gone through the Senate. It's in both spending bills. Now it's going to go to conference, and we'll see what comes out. But usually if it's in both spending bills, it'll get approved in conference, and it's the bill will be sent to Obama for his signature. So that should happen. It's looking very good for that. So that's one hurdle down. And then the next story I wanted to cover is about the WEG 2018, and that is that Lexington, the state of Kentucky, is looking forward to hearing. We should know by next week, by next Monday, whether it's going to go to Bromont in Canada or whether it's going to come back to Lexington in 2018. I really don't have any inside sources on this because the FEI is keeping it pretty close to the vest. I do know that, according to this article, that they have not sent a delegation to do a presentation, that the FEI said to Lexington that we don't need a delegation to do a presentation like the last time. We know what Lexington can do, and we know how it goes because we just had one there. So they really didn't want anybody to come. State of Kentucky was happy about that because they didn't have to pay for a group to go. They're looking forward to hearing, obviously. They did talk about the fact that it'll be much cheaper this time because all of the infrastructure is built. They spent $80 million building the infrastructure last time. And, of course, the city of Lexington has to be involved, so they brought the city directors up to speed on that last week. The state went in and gave them a presentation. We did find out something interesting, I thought, Jennifer, in this particular article was that our friend, the past director, John Nicholson, director of the Kentucky Horse Park, who's co-hosted this show before, he actually, it looks like, has taken a post as a consultant with the Virginia Horse Center Foundation. Now, is the Virginia Horse Center the one that's in Lexington, Virginia?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, so this should be interesting. We knew that he was going off to do something. He didn't say what. So that came out in this article. So we wish him the best of luck over there in Virginia. He certainly knows how to run a horse park through tough times and through tough and easy times, through both. Now, it did say in this article that Alltech has not committed to sponsorship for 2018 yet for the WEG in 2018. Apparently, that is pending. You know, they're going to hold out to see who gets it before they commit to anything. That's usually what they do. So we're just waiting to hear, basically, at this point, what happens with that. It should be interesting, and we'll keep an eye on that as well.
One of the interesting bits I saw in this article, that they're going to look at restructuring ticket pricing versus last year, that's a good idea.
Admit that the tickets were a problem, that the ticket prices were a problem, which was the first time I think they've admitted that.
We were saying it all along
during the last WEG. We talked about the fact that tickets were a problem during the last WEG. So, you know, this was the first time that they really admitted that. A couple of quick things, and then we'll go to Leslie. We are going to be doing a special Belmont episode on Wednesday, and it'll be all about the Belmont. We have some interviews. Frankie will be here. We have some interviews lined up that hopefully are going to come to fruition tomorrow. And we're going to be talking about the horses running, but it looks like the card is starting to get put together again. A lot of the competitors from the Preakness ride on Curlin, General A-Rod, will be there, and some new ones as well. Social Inclusion looks like he's going to be there. Metal Count will be there. So we'll have that all ironed out on Wednesday. We'll be able to take a look at the horses that are running. I have some sound packages I put together for you that I think you'll find interesting from past Triple Crown winners. So we'll be looking forward to the Belmont on Wednesday. The whole show will be that. We would not be doing celebrity trivia because we'll be devoting the whole show to the Triple Crown and to Belmont. We thought that was more important this week with Saturday coming up. And now it is that time of the week.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. It's the time of the week when we get Leslie Wiley on, who is the editor at horsenation.com, the writer and the all-around guru. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
So good to have you on. But, you know, before we talk about anything Horse Nation, I mentioned it earlier, you got the most reaction about a personal post that you did last week, and I was surprised at the amount of comments. You and I are a different generation. You're in your mid-20s, right? I am, you know, 50, so we're different generations. Yet 30 years ago, I went to see Dolly Parton in concert with Kenny Rogers at the York Fair, of all places. It was hot as hell in the stands. It was like 110 degrees that day. I remember sweating so much watching that concert. But the audience still went crazy. And here you are, age 25, still going to see Dolly Parton in concert. That says a lot about Dolly Parton, doesn't it?
One, I like the fact that you keep calling me 25. That's adorable. I'm actually
I'm trying
32.
To help you out. You look 25.
That's super sweet of you. And two, yes, Dolly is amazing, and she transcends generations She is just a classic.
To see her wear. Now, we also have to clarify this, that you, Leslie, are from eastern Kentucky or Tennessee, eastern Tennessee, which is in the mountains where Dolly was born and raised and grew up.
That's right. Yeah, I live in Knoxville. Dolly grew up in Sevier County, which is just beside us, and performed her first shows as a teenager in Knoxville on the little Kaz Walker radio show here. So, she's kind of from our backyard, and so she just has a giant following here. You know, she's like East Tennessee's greatest export ever.
She's the goddess of Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah, like if she ran for governor, like she would, I'm sure she would, people would vote her into office.
And you know what? She'd be the best politician we've ever had.
Oh, man. Can you imagine? Oh, she would have my vote.
Now she also has a little amusement park there in eastern Tennessee that Jennifer and I have been to. And you have been to how many times? Dollywood?
Well, growing up, we always got a season pass. And I still frequent it as an adult. It's not lost its magic. It's called Dollywood, and it's amazing.
Yep. It is neat. It is neat. It's different. It's got that home. It's got that hometown amusement park feel. Yet it has some great rides and stuff, but it does have that hometown feel, and the shows are terrific.
Yeah, the shows are terrific. Yeah, it's like a little Appalachian amusement park.
And you know, she didn't have an easy growing up. So she grew up in Sevier County, and Sevier County got its name for a reason. Is it? It was pretty severe growing up there in that day that she when she was born.
Yeah. She says she always says, she grew up dirt poor and with like multiple siblings and just like some really hardworking parents and. She has like a million amazing stories about that. She was talking about how she, one of my favorite stories that she told the other night was that growing up, she was talking about, like, the town sort of prostitute, I guess. Like, they'd go, you know, go into the quote-unquote downtown, and, you know, there's this, she called her, you know, she's like, this is a beautiful woman. She had heels. She had makeup. She was like, Mom, I want to grow up to be like, I want to grow up to be that woman. And and her parents were very strict Pentecostal. They grew up in the Pentecostal church, and so that was Dolly's ambition to you know, wear makeup, wear dresses, wear heels. They're kind of at odds with the family's religious beliefs, and her daddy worried about her when she was getting to be a teenager, and she, you know, used raspberry juice as a lipstick and a little flowers powder, and she said that one day he sat her down and was, you know, sort of giving her the talking to about modesty, and she said, Daddy, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to look like hell when I get there. Yeah.
So you wrote a post that got a lot of comments. It was this is personal. This wasn't even First Nation, I don't think. Top 15 moments from last night's Dolly Parton concert. And there must have been, talk about generations, there was people much older than me down to kids, I'm sure. You hit the whole gamut at this one.
Mm-hmm.
I have three sound clips for you, for everybody, just to get a little Dolly this morning. Why not, right? You know, go through quickly the ones that or the post, the moments that you posted.
Okay, my top 15 moments from the Dolly Parton concert, a countdown. 15, when Dolly opened with a cover of Girl on Fire. Was not expecting that. 14,
yeah.
When Dolly got glitter in her eye and turned it into an inspirational message about overcoming hardship.
There's a first world problem.
Yeah. 13, Dolly's impeccable taste in sparkly pantsuits.
How many sparkly pantsuits did you see? About 20 during the night?
She only did one costume change at halftime, but there's so much suspense. Like, what's she going to wear in the second half?
Hey, Leslie, hold on one second. I'm getting a clicking on your phone. Can you just give us a call right back? We'll try to get a better line. All right. So
sure.
Leslie will be right back with us here. She's going to give us a call right back. I know I heard a clicking there. I remember, I think that probably I've been to a lot of concerts when I was younger, and I got to say that the Dolly Kenny concert, which was like the perfect combination, was really, really good. I mean, that was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. And
Digging the hole deeper, Glenn.
I know, but it was good. It was really good. And I wasn't even a country music fan back then, but I was a Kenny Rogers fan. How could you not be a Kenny Rogers fan? All his movies were out, you know, and loved The Gambler. So, you know, had to go see him in concert singing it. But it does sound, I have a couple of clips once Leslie gets back here that we'll play. There she is. All right, let's see if we have a better connection now. You can continue.
Hey. testing.
That's better, I think.
Okay, 12. When Dolly got her wig stuck in the microphone.
Did it come off?
Oh, no, but she just, she wrestled with it a little bit and made a joke, and it was hilarious. It was adorable, of course. 11. Islands in the Stream. I mean, you know, the only thing that could have made that show more amazing would have been if Kenny Rogers walked out and cameoed in that song. But, you know.
Well, let's take a little listen.
Okay.
Tender love is blind. It requires a dedication. Oh, that's love. Making love with each other. Islands in the stream. That is what we are. No one in between. How can we
That was a huge hit for them back when they were touring. That was a huge hit. Made them a ton of money.
So good.
Yeah. So you didn't even know I had the clip with Kenny. So that was a perfect setup. Very, very well done.
I didn't know.
You should be in radio. Yeah.
I kind of am for like 15 minutes once a week.
Yes, that's right. That's right. All right, number 10.
Okay. Number 10. When Dolly played at least 10 different bedazzled instruments, including a saxophone during Rocky Top. I mean,
she
it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
She played a banjo, a harp, a whistle, like a mandolin, a fiddle, it just went on and on. Like she can play anything. And it was so funny because, yeah, saxophone is just not something that I would have thought that she could really pull off. But she sang Rocky Top, which is kind of our East Tennessee song about the moonshiners on the mountain.
That's your anthem.
Yeah, that's our anthem. Oh, yeah. It gets the people going, let me tell you. So so she pulls out Rocky Top, and then they bring her out this sparkly silver saxophone, and she breaks it down. I mean, it was amazing. And then after that she says, who wants to hear me play that breakdown backwards? And everyone's like, whoa! And she's like, betcha I can do it. And people are like, come on, Dolly! You know, and then she turns around backwards and plays it backwards. It was amazing. It was the cutest.
And she's always full of jokes. She's always
full of
jokes. She makes fun of her boobs all the time.
There are multiple shout-outs to her plastic surgeon during the show.
I bet. You know what? She doesn't look bad. She sure did better than Kenny with the plastic surgeon. Kenny needed her plastic surgeon. Let me tell you, she did a lot better than Kenny did.
Yeah. Let me tell you, she looks great. It was hard. I mean, she is 69 this year, and she looks amazing. I mean, I don't know if maybe she was actually, they had a robot out during the show or a hologram, but I was like, there's no way that woman is 69.
And did she put on a full show? I mean, she did a full show?
Oh, yeah. Did not miss a step, you know, the whole time. She just was amazing.
Well, here's another one that I know you commented, number 3. You said, Jolene, I have no words. And
what an incredible song.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
That's been covered by so many people, but nobody did it as good as she did. And that's one of my favorite songs of hers to this day.
Oh, it's so good.
That speaks to Dolly Parton's generation, though. See, Dolly Parton's generation wrote Jolene. Your gal wrote the one about slashing tires and breaking
tires. Yeah, Carrie Underwood. Yeah, that's right.
Carrie Underwood took a different bent on the same topic.
You know,
oh, man,
I have another. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, she told the story of Jolene, and she said she was talking about how she sometimes thinks about calling up old Jolene these days and saying, "You want him? You can have him now." Take him.
Let me tell you, that girl Jolene made Dolly a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, one of the other things you talked about too, speaking of Carrie Underwood, Dolly did a duet about 3 or 4 years ago with Carrie Underwood with I Will Always Love You, and you commented that she closed with that.
Oh, yeah, she sure did. And it was so touching. It was perfect. Everyone knew. We all knew that that was what she was going to sing on the for the big finish, and she delivered, and the people were loving it. And she's just so earnest about it, you know, too. You can tell she's not just putting on an act. Like, Dolly Parton really loves this. She loves everyone.
Let's hear her sing a little bit of it.
Memory, I guess that's all I'll be taking with me. Goodbye. Please, let's don't cry. 'Cause we both know I'm not what you need, but I will always love you. I will always love you.
That has to have been covered by how many artists? About a million, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, Whitney Houston, her version is probably the most famous. And did you know that Elvis asked to record that song? He wanted,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. But he wanted, the catch was, he wanted half the rights. Dolly, maybe the first woman to ever turn down Elvis, said no.
Yeah, but see, Dolly came from Elvis's, they came from, you know, the same place in history, so Dolly could turn down Elvis.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's right.
Well, what a terrific concert. It does sound like you, and I love the comments you got. So, you know, she meant a lot, or means a lot to so many people, judging by the comments you got on your post.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves Dolly. Like, what is not to love?
Well, now, you did do a post. You also did a post on Horse Nation, to get a little bit back to horses here. You did a post on Horse Nation, and I think you took this lead from us, because Jennifer is still trying, I think, to get Miranda Lambert on the show. But you did a post on, I remember I said how horsey she is. Miranda Lambert is seriously horse chick. And when she wears her helmet and her riding outfit, she looks 12, doesn't she?
she kind of does, yep.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
Yep, but so you did a post on Miranda Lambert and her riding.
Yes, we did. We started digging into it because we kept hearing, you know, you guys had mentioned that she was doing some riding. And so, you know, we love doing it. We love our celebrity. Pride ourselves on our celebrity stalking skills, so we started looking into it, and it turns out, you know, she loves animals. She's big into animal rights. She's had horses for a while. She's had some rescue horses, and not too long ago, I guess, started getting into. She hadn't really ridden growing up, but she started getting into some barrel racing. In the past few years, but her new thing is, and this was what surprised us, is she'd been posting these Instagram photos of her in English riding clothes, looking like she was at a horse show, ribbons and a bunch of other gals around her. And so it turns out that she has she's kind of getting into Welsh pony showing. So she's just got herself a couple of Welsh ponies, and went to a Oklahoma-Kansas Welsh Pony Society horse show this past weekend and won herself some ribbons. And so, she's a horse girl.
Do you think she trades? I'll sing you a song if you give me free entry into the horse show.
I don't think she probably doesn't even have to worry about that.
No, I don't think she has to worry about that a whole lot. You know who she looks a lot like when she puts on her helmet and her outfit is Alison Springer. When I first looked at her, you know, facially and stuff, she looks a little bit like Alison Springer when she puts on her helmet.
Huh. Yeah. I can see it. Yeah.
But yeah, so celebrities into the horse world, it is a thing now. I think we can officially declare it a thing between Bloomberg and, you know, Springsteen and now Miranda and Welsh ponies. So that's kind of random. But
yeah,
you know,
so random.
But you know, I think we can declare it a thing, celebrities and horses.
It is a thing.
Definitely. Well, and then you had a couple of other posts, too. You did one on California Chrome. Of course, we've been, you know, doing that like crazy here on the show. And Wednesday will be our tribute to Belmont. The entire show will be racing in Belmont. So we'll be doing that on Wednesday. But what did you guys have to say about California Chrome?
Well, we just found a sort of fun bit of trivia about our writer, Kristen Kovach. Found out that, so at the Kentucky Derby, they misspelled his name. I mean, how do you do this, really? I'm sure somebody at Churchill Downs got fired over this. But they gave him the first saddle cloth that they presented them with had it spelled, California spelled C-A-L-I-F-O-R-I-N-A. Whoops. California Chrome. And and they fixed it. They made him some new ones. But they decided to run with the typo anyway. And so, you know, of course won the Derby. And so then they head on to Pimlico. And Pimlico thought, well, you know, we'll give him a two sets of saddle cloth, one with the misspelling and one with the correct spelling. And, you know, you never know about the horse. People have a lot of superstitions. So they ended up, you know, they're like, well, this worked, you know, this worked in the Kentucky Derby. You know, you don't want to change up your lucky saddle cloth. So they ran with the typo again, and the Pimlico won again. So and now he's going to run it with the misspelled saddle cloth again in the Belmont.
You know what?
I think
that if he wins the Triple Crown, that we should change the name of the state. We should change the spelling of the state. We should officially declare it C-A-L-I-F-O-R-I-N-A. California.
California.
How about California? Yeah, that's even
California.
Better.
California. I like that.
California. Yeah, that's good. I like that. California.
Kind of
Yeah, you know what? They're in debt up to their eyeballs anyway. We'll just have them declare bankruptcy and start over.
New state.
That's right. We don't have to change the number of stars on the flag, you know, because we're just replacing one. And, of course, you did have a ton of other terrific posts as well. You know, one of the posts I liked was your post, and this has come up all the time, and it's coming up in the news all over the country when we read, you know, every news story that goes out about horses every week, is about hikers and bikers sharing trails, and there are huge battles going on in some towns and some states about that, and of course the bikers blame the horses and the horses blame the bikers, and you just had a good thing about how to share the trail properly. And, you know, if we're all considerate to each other, we wouldn't have this problem.
Right.
Now, that's easier said than done in many cases, but, you know, you had a good post on that. You had a post about beer, too. And I think you were saying that horses should get a keg of beer a week. Is that what you were saying to help with hydration?
Yeah, a keg to two kegs, yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go.
No, party at the barn. That's just an excuse. Like, oh yeah, we've got to keep this keg in the feed room for you know, for old Bot over here. It doesn't sweat.
That's right. It helps non-sweaters when they drink large quantities of alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't think that's really what the article said. I made that up. But, but if you want to check it out, you can. Go ahead and take a look at that. You can go to horsenation.com. This has been so much fun going down memory lane with you and Dolly. And I'm glad to see that there's somebody of a younger generation, 32, that also enjoys Dolly. And you know, we've been to Pigeon Forge a couple times. We spent a couple weeks renting a cabin up there. And when we lived in Kentucky, we went over there a couple of times, and I just loved it there. It's like going to the beach in the mountains.
Yeah, yeah.
Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and the whole thing. I don't know, do locals still like to go there, or is it just a tourist thing now?
I mean, it's pretty touristy, but, you know, we like going to Dollywood. We like going to the mountains. The Smoky Mountain National Park is just incredible for hiking and camping. Here's my favorite thing besides Dollywood, but it's also owned by Dolly Parton, is the Dixie Stampede.
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
Oh, I'll tell you a little story, Jennifer. I'll put her on mute first because she, let's do this. We'll put Jennifer on mute. We went there. We went to the one that used to be down at Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
They had one there as well. And we went there, and I think that particular time, we were the youngest people in the audience. Everybody else was like 85. So as we were going in, they were looking for somebody younger to go down into the arena and help with the bucket brigade. And that's where we had to carry buckets of water, and they had this little thing, that skit that they did, and we were supposed to carry buckets of water and hand them to each other. Well, Jennifer was wearing this – let me take her off of mute a second. Jennifer, was it a white outfit? It was white, wasn't it? Completely white?
Yes.
From head to toe. This white outfit. Now, we're down in the arena. This is a dinner show, for those that don't know. It's a dinner show. There's sand. There's all kinds of horses and chuck wagon races and all kinds of fun show. Well, we were down there to participate in the Bucket Brigade. Well, at one point, Jennifer takes the bucket, was so excited, turns around, trips, and falls flat on her face in the sand, wearing white pantsuit, white from head to toe. She got up, and she was brown from head to toe on the front of this white pantsuit. And, of course, everybody cheered. And the rest of the day, everybody that saw her on our way out and are sitting around us had to comment about how she was that girl in front of 1,000 people. Yes. So, yes, we have been there, haven't we, Jennifer? Was one of her shiny moments.
I'd never been in sand arena footing before. It was unfamiliar. Sorry.
You think a horse girl would not trip in front of all those people. But, So, yes, we do. I don't think we've ever been back, to be honest with you, Leslie. I don't know why.
Probably not.
It is a fun show, though. They closed the one in Myrtle Beach. There's one still open in Gatlinburg?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely going strong. It's kind of amazing. They have, like, you know, the horse jumping through the fiery hoop and the, like, that's kind of my backup plan if the venting doesn't work out. Like, I'm going to go get a job at the Dixie. I want to be the fire hoop jumping girl at the Dixie.
Well, you know something. Maybe you should do that now. That actually pays. You can actually earn money.
I hope
unlike
they pay
eventing.
Those people.
Yeah, we knew some people that actually worked at a couple of those shows. But, yeah, fun. That's fun. It's a good time. Well, thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you filling in this last half hour for Jamie and helping cover. And thank you for doing
the post
about Dolly, and I'm glad you really enjoyed the concert.
Sure. You guys have a great week. Thanks for
having me. All right. Take care, Leslie. We'll talk to you next week. Well, that's it for us today. Don't forget you can get our app. You just go to the App Store, iOS or Android, and search for Horse Radio Network. Download it. It's the easiest way to listen to the show, and it's free. We also want to thank the new patrons, the new auditors that we have on board. We really appreciate you joining up here over the last couple of days. We've gotten some new ones, and we want to thank you for participating and for being part of that. You can do that by going to horsesinthemorning.com and following the link in the middle of the page for as little as a dollar a month. You can get all the benefits of being an auditor of the Horse Radio Network. It's like being a member. You can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. We post a lot of things that we do there. All the interaction comes from there. So we appreciate you becoming a fan over there and following us and making sure that you post often. We enjoy that. And let's see, what else? That's about it. We're looking forward to a week of great shows. We'll be back tomorrow morning. It's the jumping show with Emily Thompson will be here, and she has some terrific guests lined up. So it's our monthly jumping show tomorrow, and then Belmont on Wednesday. So we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thank you for filling in, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Happy to help.
Jennifer, horsetipsdaily.com. Check it out. Wear your helmets. Be safe.